Luke 24. Have you been learning something? Talk to me. Have you been learning something?
Luke 24.
And
49.
And behold,
Natazama,
I send the promise of my Father upon you.
Baba.
But are in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. We'll be talking about the baptism with the Holy Ghost.
We've
called it also the outpouring of the Spirit. In Acts of the Apostles chapter
2,
and just before we get there, we said that Jesus spoke about two baptisms. Acts 1:4. He said, wait for the promise of my Father, which you have heard of me. Acts 1:5. John truly baptized with water.
Yohana kweli alibatiza kwa maji.
Not many days ends.
Baada ya siku chache.
You shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost.
Nitabatizwa katika Roho Mtakatifu.
So which means,
hii ina maana,
the baptism of John,
ubatizo wa Yohana,
will give us a signpost.
Ulikuwa ni bango la kuonyesha, ni
a signboard.
Bango linaloonyesha
jambo. Of the baptism with the Holy Ghost.
Ya ubatizo wa Roho Mtakatifu.
Let me go back to my illustration.
Ngoja nirudi katika kielelezo changu.
So John goes to Jordan.
Kwa Yohana anakwenda Yordani.
Jordan is the entry point.
Kwa Yordani ni mahali pa kuingilia.
Into the promised land.
Katika nchi ya ahadi.
Now let me explain a bit about the promised land for you.
Ngoja nieleze kidogo kuhusiana na nchi ya ahadi.
Land.
Nchi.
Is a very critical part of the Bible.
Ni eneo muhimu sana la Biblia.
The first thing you read,
siku ya kwanza unasoma,
in the Bible,
katika Biblia,
is Genesis 1:1.
Ni mwanzo moja moja. Jambo la kwanza unasoma kwenye Biblia.
In the beginning God created the heavens and the earth.
Hapo mwanzo Mungu aliziumba mbingu na nchi.
Then verse 2.
Na mstari wa pili,
the earth.
Anasema nayo nchi.
Which also means the land.
Ambayo pia ina maana ya ardhi ama nchi.
Was without form and void. So the focus is on the land. Now in chapter 1, verse 26, says, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. Then verse 27, he says, he made them male and female. Verse 28, says, he blessed them.
Mungu akawabariki,
saying,
akawaambia,
be fruitful,
zaeni,
multiply,
kaongezeke,
replenish the earth,
nikaijaze nchi,
the earth,
nchi.
In chapter 2,
na sura ya pili,
God again,
Mungu tena,
made a garden,
katika bustani,
another land,
nchi nyingine,
and he put man in that land,
na akamweka mtu katika hiyo nchi.
In chapter 3,
katika sura ya tatu,
he expelled the man,
akamfukuza mtu,
and the woman, in verse
24,
out of the land. So the focus is on land. In chapter 4, he expelled
Cain
away from the land. Hope you are following this. So land is a very important part of our Bible study. Land refers to the earth. In chapter
6,
what happened again? From verse
5
through to verse
6,
then verse
7,
then verse
11,
then verse 12.
He
talked about the wickedness of men in the earth. That the earth had corrupted
its
way. So the earth has been corrupted. His way on the earth has been corrupted. So you can see the focus is the earth. The focus is the land. Now in chapter 11, again,
tena,
you see that people gathered in the land.
Unaona kwamba watu wamekusanyika katika nchi.
On the face of the earth.
Katika sura ya nchi.
And they wanted to build a tower.
Na wakataka kujenga mnara.
Up to heaven.
Mpaka ufike mbinguni.
Now don't let me go into details of that.
Sitaki kwenda katika kina cha.
But that is like building a temple.
Lakini pale walikuwa wanajenga hekalu.
Again they were scattered.
Na sasa walikuwa wametawanyika.
Verse 7 and 8.
Msali ule wa 7 na 8.
Across the earth.
wakatawanyika duniani pole katika uso wa dunia.
In chapter 12.
Katika mstari wa 12, katika sura ya 12
and verse 3.
Na mstari wa 3.
God's covenant with Abraham.
Mungu anamuita Ibrahim.
In you shall all the families of the earth.
Anasema katika wewe familia zote za dunia, jamaa zote za dunia watabarikiwa.
Be blessed.
Watabarikiwa.
In chapter 13.
Katika sura ya 13.
When Lot,
wakati Lutu,
went away from him,
amekwenda mbali na yeye.
He asked Abraham to come out.
Akamwambia toka.
He said, look around you.
Akasema angalia.
Look to the east.
Angalia mashariki.
Look to the west.
Angalia magharibi.
All you can see.
Asema chochote unachokiona.
I have given you.
Nimekupatia.
So it's about the land.
Kwa ni kuhusu nchi.
It's about the land.
Ni kuhusu nchi.
In chapter 8.
Katika sura ya 8.
I skip that one.
In verse 21.
It says the Lord smelled the sweet savour.
Anasema kwamba Bwana akasikia harufu ya kumridhisha.
And said he will never again destroy man.
Akasema sitailani nchi tena.
Because the imagination of his heart is evil from
youth. Mawazo ya moyo wa mwanadamu ni mabaya tangu ujana wake.
Then verse 22.
Mstari wa 22.
As long as the earth remains.
Muda nchi dumupo.
Seed time and harvest.
Majira ya kupanda na mavuno.
Cold and heat.
Wakati wa
baridi na summer.
Wakati wa kaskazi na wakati wa
kusiku.
Mchana na usiku.
Will not cease.
Havitakoma.
So you can see the focus is the land.
Katika nchi.
Hope you are following what I'm saying here.
Sina nafuatia nachokisema.
The focus is the land.
Mlengo ni nchi.
The focus is the earth.
Mlengo ni dunia.
And the focus is the land.
Na mlengo ni nchi.
That's why I said you pay attention.
Ndio maana nikasema unapaswa kuweka umakini
to what is being said.
Kwa kile kinachosemwa.
So God,
kwa hiyo Mungu,
who wants to take the whole earth,
ambaye anataka kuchukua dunia yote,
who wants to reign in the whole earth,
ambaye anataka kutawala dunia yote,
he starts from where Abraham was.
Anaanza pale ambapo Ibrahim alikuwa.
He called Abraham out,
anamuita Ibrahim kutoka
of his father's house,
kutoka katika nyumba babake,
of his father's land,
kutoka katika nchi ya babake,
to a land he will show him,
katika nchi kwenda kumpeleka kwenye nchi atakayomwonyesha.
Now listen very well.
Na nisikize kwa makini.
If he says to a land he will show him,
anaposema katika nchi atakayokuonyesha,
that means that Abraham,
hii ina maana Ibrahim,
might not physically get to the land.
Anaweza kufika kimwili kabisa katika hiyo nchi.
Because if I have to show you,
kama inabidi nikuonyeshe wewe,
imagine if I say I want to buy a property now.
Fikiri kama anasema kwamba nataka kununua eneo au,
then I take you to the property.
Na nakupeleka wewe kwenye hiyo mali nataka kununua.
And I tell you I want to show the property.
Nasema nataka nikuonyeshe hiyo mali.
I will say, ah, where, I mean, are we not on the property?
No, no, sir. Ah, when you are talking when you
say, I want to show you the property.
I said, I'm going to show you the inch.
So while Abraham got to the land,
Ibrahim had a figure at the inch.
God showed him the land.
Mungu akamuonyesha inchi.
While he was on the land,
wakati akiwa juu ya hiyo
inchi. In the land, he showed him.
Kama hiyo inchi aliyomuonyesha.
He saw all the nations of the earth.
Ni dunia yote, ni inchi yote.
All the nations of the earth.
Ni mataifa yote ya dunia.
Which means,
hii ina maana,
wherever he was,
popote alipokuwepo,
was a starting point.
Ilikuwa ni sehemu ya kuanzia.
Wherever he was,
popote alipokuwa,
was a starting point.
Ilikuwa ni mahali pa kuanzia.
Wherever he was,
popote alipokuwa,
was a starting point.
Ilikuwa ni mahali pa kuanzia.
You know, how many of you you've gone to a property before?
Wangapi mmekwenda kwenye,
it's a very wide land.
Kwenye nchi au ardhi.
Maybe somebody gave you,
labda mtu amekupatia eneo kiwanja,
100,000 hectares.
Labda amekupatia eka 100,000.
You are going to be the owner of a village.
Unaenda kumiliki kijiji.
And then they say they want you to see everything.
Anasema anataka uone kila kitu.
You know it's not possible for you to see everything.
You know, haiwezekani wewe kuona kila kitu.
And it's not in a single day. Not in a single day.
Sio katika siku moja.
You can go on an helicopter.
Itabidi uhitaji helicopter.
And see everything.
Na kuona kila kitu.
But you are still not seeing everything.
Lakini huwezi kuona kila, hujaona kila kitu siku hiyo.
You now insist.
Na yeye anasisitiza
kwamba, I want to go around the 100,000 hectares.
Sasa anataka nikupatie ekari 100,000.
100,000 hectares. 100,000 hectares.
Ekari 100,000.
It will take you a long time.
Itachukua muda mrefu
to go through 100,000
hectares. Kwenda katika hizo ekari zote 100,000.
They can show you in a video.
Wanaweza kuonyesha kwenye video.
They can show you in a clip.
Wakakuonyesha kwenye kipande cha video.
And you see how it is.
Na unasema unaona jinsi
ilivyo. You can't say I want to go through everywhere.
Lakini unaweza kusema nataka niende kila sehemu.
I want the soles of my foot
kila
to touch
every miguu yangu, nyayo za miguu yangu zikanyage.
That will be very difficult.
Itakuwa ngumu sana.
So if God is going to give now for that particular, you can start somewhere. You can start somewhere. Maybe the first the first plot of land.
Okay,
this is how everywhere looks like.
Okay,
these are all the trees.
Even in the
other 100,000 acres. That's what God did to
Abraham.
He started from one point.
But
he showed Abraham
a
wider land.
In the
land, he showed him. He said, all the families of the earth will be there. In the land he showed him, he said, all the nations of the earth will be there. He showed Isaac the same thing. He showed Jacob the same thing. Which means wherever they were was the starting point. It was not everywhere. It was not the entire land. What land did he show Abraham? That he showed Isaac. And then that he showed Jacob. It's the whole earth. The whole world. That's why Romans 4 verse 13 calls him the heir of the whole world. The heir of the whole world. So what he gave him was the whole world. Starting from that land.
Kwa kuanzia katika kile kipande cha nchi alikuwa
amesimama. You can say starting from Canaan.
Kwa unaweza kusema kwa kuanzia na Kanaani.
Eventually Canaan transmitted into what you now call Jerusalem.
Na baadaye Kanaani ikaendelea ikawa sasa kile
tunachoita Yerusalemu. So you can say starting from Jerusalem.
Kwa unaweza kusema kuanzia na Yerusalemu.
But that is not the place.
Lakini hapo sio kama ndio mahali pote.
It is just a part
ni sehemu ya mahali.
Who is following what I'm saying?
Nani anafuatia ninachokisema?
So the gift of the land is to symbolize the gift of the whole earth.
Ni kuweza kuleta katika picha zawadi ya dunia yote ama dunia yote nchi yote katika.
So when God called Israel out of Egypt,
kwa wakati ambao Mungu amewaita Israel kutoka Misri,
they were in the wilderness.
Na wakawa katika jangwa na nyika.
In Numbers 13,
katika Hesabu 13
into 14,
kwenda 14,
when they began to doubt God,
ambapo walianza kuwa na mashaka juu ya
Mungu, and they asked Moses to return them back to Egypt.
Na akaanza kumwambia Musa warudishe Misri.
Numbers 14 verse 21.
Hesabu 14:21.
The Lord said,
Bwana akasema,
as I live,
kama niishivyo,
the earth,
dunia yote,
the whole earth,
dunia yote,
shall be filled,
itajazwa,
with my glory,
na utukufu wangu.
The whole earth shall
yote,
be filled,
itajazwa,
with my glory,
na utukufu wangu.
Now if you read that with Genesis 1:28,
ukisoma hiyo katika Mwanzo 1:28,
it said replenish the earth,
anasema mkaijaze,
fill it up,
kaijaze nchi,
cover it. Are you following what I'm saying here? So God in
Abraham
is only renewing what he has always said.
Alikuwa tu anakisema kwa upya kile ambacho amekwisha kisema.
That's why the psalmist,
ndio maana mwimbaji wa Zaburi,
in Psalm 24 verse 1,
katika Zaburi ya ile 24,
he says the earth is the Lord,
anasema dunia ni mali ya Bwana,
and the fullness,
nchi na vyote vijazavyo,
the world,
dunia,
and all that dwell in it.
Na wote wakao ndani yao.
So what he gave to Abraham,
kwa alichokuwa amempatia Ibrahim,
was the whole earth,
ilikuwa ni dunia yote.
So the covenant with Abraham,
kwa agano na Ibrahim,
permit me to go back a little bit.
Niruhusu nirudi nyuma kidogo.
The covenant he had with Noah,
lile agano alikuwa nao na Nuhu,
was that the earth would never be destroyed.
Ni kwamba nchi haitaharibiwa, dunia haitaharibiwa.
That's the covenant he had with Noah.
Hilo ndio agano alikuwa nao na.
The earth will go through seasons.
Kwamba nchi ama dunia itaenda kwenye majira.
It will go through difficulties.
Itaingia katika wakati mgumu.
But it will not be destroyed.
Lakini haitaharibiwa.
That is what he said to Noah.
Hicho ndicho akisema kwa Nuhu.
What he now said to Abraham,
na sasa alichokisema kwa Ibrahim,
was not about whether the earth will be destroyed or not.
Si habari ya kwamba nchi itaharibiwa au la.
God did not change what he said to Noah.
Mungu hakubadilisha alichosema kwa Nuhu.
You know, because he said to Noah,
kwa sababu alisema kwa Nuhu,
seed time and harvest will not cease.
Akasema wakati wa kupanda na kuvuna,
day and night will not cease.
Hautakoma wala usiku na mchana.
Winter and summer will not
cease. Wala wakati wa kaskazi wala wa kushi.
So day and night will not cease.
Akasema usiku na mchana vitakoma.
That's what he said to Noah.
Ndivyo alichosema kwa Nuhu.
He said the earth will never be destroyed again.
Akasema dunia wala nchi haitaharibiwa.
So Isaiah in Isaiah 54.
Kwa katika kitabu cha Isaia sura ya 54,
verse 9 and 10.
Mstari ule wa 9 na 10.
He says like the waters of Noah.
Akasema kama maji ya Nuhu kwangu.
I will have love, compassion, long suffering.
Anasema ya kwamba
you will not be destroyed.
Sitaona hasira wala kukemea.
You will not be consumed.
Hautaharibiwa.
So the waters of Noah there,
maji ya Nuhu hapa,
refers to God's everlasting kindness.
Inazungumzia
that this earth,
rehema za Mungu za milele kwamba dunia hii ama nchi itabaki.
Any theology
kwa hiyo theolojia yoyote
that preaches that God would destroy the earth,
ambayo inahubiri kwamba Mungu ataharibu dunia,
it's not from the Bible.
Haitoki katika Biblia,
because God expressly said,
kwa sababu Mungu alisema wasiwasi,
that this earth will remain,
kwamba hii dunia itabaki, inchi itadumu.
God expressly said it,
Mungu alisema wasiwasi,
that this earth will remain,
kwamba inchi itadumu.
In fact, the psalmist,
kimsingi mwimbaji wa Zaburi,
said the earth is the Lord,
akasema kwamba inchi na
vyote vijazavyo ni mali ya Bwana. Fullness thereof.
Yes, sasa dunia ni mali ya Bwana na vyote vijazavyo ni mali
yake. What will now be in the earth?
Kwa nini kitakuwa katika inchi?
He said in Numbers 14:21.
Akasema katika Hesabu,
my glory will fill the earth.
Are
you following this at all?
He
said in Isaiah 11.
Akasema kwenye Isaiah pia,
verse 9 and 10.
He
said the knowledge of my glory will fill the earth.
Akasema maarifa utukufungwa itajaza
nchi. In Habakkuk 2:14.
Na katika kitabu cha Habakuki 2:14.
He said the earth will be filled.
Akasema kwamba dunia itajazwa.
With the knowledge of the glory of the Lord.
Na maarifa utukufu wa Bwana.
As the waters covers the sea.
Kama maji yanavyojaza bahari.
So it's consistent.
Kwa ni kitu thabiti kinachoendelea.
That God has told us what the earth will look like eventually.
Mungu amekwisha sema jinsi gani dunia itaonekana baadaye.
He has no plan to destroy the earth.
Hakukua na mpango kuharibu dunia.
He has no plan to change what he said.
Wala hana mpango kubadilisha alichosema.
So we move from Noah.
Kwa tunatoka kwa Nuhu.
You know, in Genesis 9.
Unajua katika ile mwanzo
1 and 2.
Msali wa kwanza na wa pili.
After the flood that happened.
Baada ya kwamba gharika imetokea.
He now told Noah.
Mungu akamwambia.
He blessed him.
Akambariki.
He said be fruitful.
Akasema zao kaongezeke.
Multiply.
Ongezeka.
Replenish the earth.
Ijaze dunia.
Be fruitful.
Sa?
Multiply.
Ongezeka.
Replenish the earth.
Ijaze dunia.
Because this earth.
Kwa sababu dunia hii.
This earth.
Dunia hii
will not be destroyed. So when he got to Abraham,
alipofika kwa Ibrahim,
he now spoke about the people in the earth.
Anaanza kusema juu ya watu katika dunia.
In you,
asema katika wewe,
shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Who's following what I'm saying?
Nani anaelewa anachosema?
That is God's plan.
Hiyo ndio mpango wa Mungu.
So pay attention.
Kwa weka umakini
to the use of land.
Katika matumizi ya neno
nchi. Land is important to God.
Nchi ni muhimu kwa Mungu.
Because it belongs to him.
Kwa sababu ni mali yake.
Is that very clear now? So Abraham's place,
kwa hiyo eneo la Ibrahim,
is the starting point.
Ni sehemu tu ya kuanzia.
It is not the end.
Sio mwisho.
It is a starting point.
Ni mahali pa kuanzia.
Because he showed Abraham,
kwa sababu alimuonyesha Ibrahim,
places farther than where he was.
Maeneo mbali kuliko alipokuwepo.
In fact, in the vision,
kimsingi katika maono
that Abraham had,
ambayo Ibrahim alikuwa naye,
in Numbers 13,
katika Hesabu 13,
he asked him to walk in the length and breadth of it.
Alimwambia atembee mapana na marefu yake.
That is a vision, no?
Hiyo ni katika maono.
Abraham never walked the whole earth.
Ibrahim hakuwahi kutembea dunia yote.
In Genesis 15,
katika Mwanzo 15,
when Abraham,
wakati ambapo Ibrahim
wanted another person to be an heir,
ababa alitaka mtu mwingine kuwa mrithi wake,
God told him,
Mungu akamwambia,
he said a child from you will be the heir.
Akasema mtoto kutoka viunoni mwako.
He said let me show you again.
Yeye atakuwa.
He said look at the stars.
Akamwambia tazama nyota.
Can you number them?
Unaweza kuzihesabu?
So shall your seed be.
Akasema ndivyo uzao wako utakavyokuwa.
He showed Abraham the vast earth.
Akamwonyesha Ibrahim upana
and his plan for the whole earth. His plan for the whole earth.
Mpango wa dunia, wake wa dunia yote.
Then Abraham believed in the Lord.
Na Mungu na Ibrahim akamwamini
Mungu. It was counted unto him for righteousness.
Ikahesabiwa kwake kwa haki.
Now pay attention.
Sasa weka makini.
What did Abraham believe?
Ni nini ambacho Ibrahim aliamini?
Paul said it was the gospel.
Ibrahim nani Paulo anasema kama ilikuwa ni injili.
In Galatians 3:8.
Katika Galatia 3.
What did Abraham believe?
Ibrahim aliamini nini?
Abraham believed.
Ibrahim aliamini
that the whole earth,
kwamba dunia yote,
will be filled,
itajazwa,
with the glory of God.
Na utukufu wa Mungu.
That's what Abraham believed.
Ndicho ambacho Abraham aliamini.
Abraham did not believe that Jesus would die for his sins.
Ibrahim hakuamini kwamba Yesu atakuja
kwa ajili yake. That was not in the conversation.
Hiyo haikuwepo kwenye mazungumzo yao.
Abraham did not believe that somebody would die on the cross for him.
Wala Ibrahim hakuamini kwamba mtu fulani atakufa kwenye msalaba.
That news would be insignificant.
Hiyo habari itakuwa kwake haina umuhimu.
Insignificant.
Haina umuhimu.
For example,
kwa mfano, sasa,
if you turn to a Chelsea fan,
kama ukibadilika ukawa mshabiki wa Chelsea,
I said to the Chelsea fan,
na ukamwambia mshabiki wa Chelsea,
your next game at the Champions League,
kwamba mchezo wako unaofuata katika ligi ya mabingwa Ulaya,
is next, you will be playing PSG,
utakuwa unacheza na PSG
at the Champions League,
katika ligi ya mabingwa.
The question is when.
Swali itakuwa ni wakati gani.
It can't be next week.
Haiwezi kuwa wiki ijayo.
It can't be next year.
Haiwezi kuwa mwaka ujao.
It can't be the year after.
Wala haiwezi kuwa miaka mingine.
It's not likely next 5 years.
Sana.
So that information is useless
to
a Chelsea fan. What you should be telling him is that you'll be playing GKLN from Azerbaijan. That's what you should be telling Chelsea. When you mention names like Barcelona, Real Madrid, they see it as a great plan of God for them in the future. I hope my illustration is clear enough. So when you are talking to Abraham and say somebody is going to die for his sins, it makes no sense to him. God and Abraham did not even discuss sin. There was not even a mention of forgiveness of sins in their conversation. What they were talking about was the earth, the nations of the earth, and how God will bring everybody into the same family. That is what Abraham believed. Of course, when Jesus died on the cross and he rose from the dead, he fulfilled that promise. How did he fulfill that promise? Because from his death and resurrection, he brought in all the families of the earth. Are you following what I'm saying here? But to Abraham, what did he believe? He believed that God will unite the whole earth. Why would he believe that? Why was that important to him? Because in chapter 11, the whole earth was scattered. So the gospel to Abraham will be that God will put right what went wrong. He will put right what went wrong. That is what is called righteousness. Are you following this? Righteousness is to put right what went wrong. So when Abraham believed in the Lord, it was put in his account, God's righteousness, that God will bring everybody together. That is his righteousness. And he will bring everybody together in himself. So in bringing everybody together, it will bring us into union with him. The gift of righteousness. He will now bring us in union with one another, which is the ministry of righteousness. Are you following what I'm saying here now? That was what Abraham believed. So in Galatians 3:8, Paul said, he said the scriptures foreseen that God will justify the heathen through faith, preached before circumcision, preached before the ritual of circumcision, preached before the commencement of the Jew, preached before the circumcision, the gospel to Abraham. What is that gospel? In you shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. That is the gospel that Abraham believed. Who's following what I'm saying? Let me see here. In you shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Is that clear to you? So, as we are following, we have seen God's plan for the earth. By talking to Noah, he said, this earth will be destroyed again. It will go through seasons. It will go through different seasons. Different trials. That's why in Matthew 24, Jesus said there will be wars and rumors of war. But that's not the end. He said men will kill themselves. That's not the end. Nation will war against nation. That's not the end. He said the end is this. The gospel of this kingdom will be preached in all the nations. So the end is glorious. The end is not a disaster. The end is a glorious one. It is not a disaster. There will be seed time and harvest. There will be there will be darkness and light. Day and night. There will be winter and summer. There will be different seasons. But the earth will remain. The earth will remain. Till the earth is filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord. As the waters come. If you hear that, can you shout hallelujah? Is that clear to you? So any theology that contradicts this is not biblical theology. It's not biblical theology. That theology of people running away from the earth. Before God throws the last bomb.
So
people just escape. Sarah, you know, God is about to destroy the earth. So the bomb is ticking. So the bomb is ticking. As we run out.
Go.
Then everything is destroyed. And God is happy. That's not the biblical God. The biblical God said he will stay with the earth through the times and seasons. He will stay with the earth through the times and seasons. He said he will stay with the earth and he will hold forth everything in his hands. One thing we are confident of, things may not go smoothly all of the time, but we know the end. The end is the glory of God. We know the end. This gospel will be preached in all the nations. We know the end. Till the ends of the earth, the name of Jesus will be glorified. If you believe that, shout glory.
Come on, amen, shout glory.
So sit down. So let's go back to Jordan. So is Jordan making sense to you now? Is Jordan making sense to you? So John the Baptist goes to
Jordan.
What is he saying? He's saying God has not changed his mind. Is that what John is saying? God has not changed his mind. God has not changed his mind. This is still the starting point. Are you following what I'm saying? This is still the starting point. Israel is still the starting point. The nation of Israel is still the starting point.
Jerusalem ni mahali pa kuanzia.
Thank you. I wanted to say that. You have said it ahead of time. Jerusalem is the starting point.
Jerusalem ni mahali pa kuanzia.
So God is not changing his mind. He now told them to repent. You are the one that has to change your mind. Change your mind away from this chaos. Change your mind away from these many beliefs. You have to turn to God, the faithful God, who keeps his covenant, whose word will never change, through times and seasons. His word has been tried and tested. His word has been tried and tested. It has remained the same. Can you shout hallelujah? So sit down. So John goes to Jordan to remind them that God has not changed his plan. He hasn't changed his plan. He said there's one standing amongst you. He says his sandals, I cannot lose him. I cannot lose in his sandals. I can't touch it. He said he's greater than me. He is before me. He will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. With the Holy Ghost and with fire. Which means the plan of God's promised land, we are about to see it. We are about to see it. So the baptism with the Holy Ghost is about God's promised land. Are you following what I'm saying here? The baptism with the Holy Ghost is about God's promised land. Don't forget what the land is. What is the land again? What's the land again? Starting from where?
Kwanzia wapi?
Jerusalem. Is that very clear?
Iko wazi, eh?
Is that very clear? Starting from here. Now, let me give you a bit of background again. When they got to Canaan, in the book of Joshua, they never possessed the whole land. All the giants were gone. But there still remained lands they never possessed. Then the book of Judges, everybody was doing as it is right in his eyes. Disaster upon disaster. The book of Judges is one of the most scary. No, let me use the right English. It's arguably one of the most scariest. Allow my grammar. One of the most scariest books in the Bible. Those are the places that atheists begin to fight Christians. What is the meaning of this? But they forgot that the book of Judges is where everybody did as it was right in their own
hearts.
Says there was no king in Israel. There was no king in Israel. Everyone did as he saw right. So as you stepped away from Judges, you now go to Ruth. You get to Ruth. In the book of Ruth, you now see something
clear.
A Gentile. A Gentile. Now connects to a Jew by marriage. The tribe of Judah.
Kabila la Yuda.
Jesse.
Jesse.
Which means in spite of what was going on, God did not change his plan. He didn't change his plan. So in the book of Ruth, we'll find that Jew and Gentile in the same family, just like he told Abraham. Are you following what I'm saying here? This is now the background for 1 Samuel. Because if you don't get this connection, it's now the background for 1 Samuel. By 1 Samuel, things were still going like this. But no matter what is going on in the earth, God has a grand plan on that. He is still working. Did you know when Jesus was born? It was not on CNN. When Jesus was being named, when he was being born, there was something else going on. People were not even aware. But the greatest thing in humanity was going on. It was not on Twitter. It was not on Facebook. But something was going on in the heavens that would touch humanity forever. So do not follow world events to know what God is doing. You will be in complete error if you do that. Don't follow the signs in the news. Don't follow what is going on in the world. Pay attention to the word of God. Follow the leading of the Spirit of God. That you will know what God is doing. Tanzania, Zambia, Zimbabwe, Uganda, Kenya, Namibia, Ethiopia. Hear the word of the Lord. Hear the word of the Lord. It's not what is going on in politics or elections or economy. That is not how you know what God is doing. Look at the word of God and listen to the Spirit of God. You will know what God is doing. Then you shout hallelujah.
Yes.
Pastors, don't be interpreters of the news. Don't be newscasters. Be preachers of the word of God. Be preachers of the word of God. In season and out of season. Say what God is saying. Say what God is doing. Don't use the news to preach. I said don't use the news to preach. Don't use social media to preach. Preach the word. I said preach the word. When the world is doing something else, God is carrying out his own plan. He's doing his own plan. Can you shout hallelujah? Sit down. In the midst of all that chaos, God is setting the ground for what he told Abraham. He said, from you will come kings. Kings. He said it through Jacob. When he turned to Judah, he said, the scepter shall not depart from you, nor the lawgiver, till Shiloh come. Unto him shall the gathering of the people be. He said that to Judah. I thought he would say it to Joseph. Because Joseph was a good guy. God does not work like that. He may not choose who you have chosen. God will choose who he has chosen. Are you following what I'm saying here? So here we find Ruth.
Ruth.
And then he had Boaz.
Boaz.
And Ruth. Boaz is of that tribe of Judah. Ruth is the Moabite. And they are connected. Setting the stage.
We
get to 1 Samuel. Then there's
Anna.
Who is barren. A typical biblical story.
Yani ni story kabisa Biblia.
A woman who can't have child is usually the entry point. Impossibility is always God's entry point. I said disappointment is always God's entry point. It will never happen. It's always God's entry point. The impossibilities are always his entry point. So the first story is the impossible. From the Moabite with the Jew. That looked impossible. Now we have a barren woman. Is giving a son. By the name of Samuel.
Kwa jina Samuel.
His job.
Kazi yake.
His job.
Kazi yake.
Is to anoint David.
Ni kumpaka mafuta Daudi.
That was why he was born.
Ndio sababu alizaliwa Samuel.
That's his only job.
Ndio kazi yake tu.
That's his major job.
Ndio kazi ya Samuel.
But he comes through an impossible situation.
Ametoka katika mazingira ambayo hayawezekani.
The mother has him, puts him in the temple. The mother now gives birth to him.
Mama.
The mother gives birth to him. And he puts him in the temple. He grows up there. Did you notice that in the book of Luke, the way Samuel grew is how Jesus grew. The way Samuel found favor is how Jesus found favor. So Jesus was also like Samuel. How Samuel was born by a woman who had no child.
Or who couldn't
have a child. Is how Jesus was also born by a
virgin.
Can you see how the Bible pattern is like? Who's following what I'm saying? Let me see your hand. So the stage is being set.
And
we now have another failed priest by the name of Eli. His sons were sleeping with women in church, taking all the things in the temple, behaving badly. He did not do anything wrong. He did not commit adultery. He did not commit anything wrong. But he's a bad pastor. You may be a very good gentleman. You don't live in sin. You don't lie. But you are not raising the people of God well. You are not firm. You are not firm.
Hauko imara.
You are not raising men like you.
Because you know,
the priest is supposed to raise priests from his lineage.
Kuhani anapaswa kuinua makuhani kwenye usawa wake.
He was the only one that was living in holiness.
Kwa yeye peke yake yeye aliishi katika utakatifu.
His children were not.
Lakini watoto wake hapana.
So his lineage was taken away.
Kwa maana yake usawa kaondolewa kwake.
From the lineage that should produce priests.
Kwenye usawa ambao ungekuwa unazalisha makuhani.
May your actions or inactions.
Vitendo vyako ama vya kufunda mfanya au usivyofanya.
Not affect the people after you.
Visiathiri watu mbele yako.
May your actions or inactions not affect the people after you. That was what happened to Eli. He refused to raise up priests. It's not about children. The children were meant to be priests. Unfortunately also, Samuel had the same experience. If we are not careful, the things we saw when we were growing up that we criticize, if we don't correct ourselves, we will reproduce the same thing. Samuel's children too could not replace him. They ended up like the children of Eli. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, you will raise men and women that will take the baton of the gospel effectively. You will not be a weakling as a leader. You will not compromise as a leader. I said you will not compromise as a leader. You will not lead people astray. You will lead them to do the will of God. In the name of Jesus. Stand to your feet and sit down. So, at a point, Samuel was doing his job. After Eli died, then one day, they came to Samuel. The people came to Samuel because his children were behaving badly. He said, "You are already old. If you go and leave us with these boys, his disco party will be doing in church. If you go and leave us with these boys, prayer meeting is going to stop. If you leave us with these boys, so they said, give us a king like all the other nations. Samuel was like, why do you want a king? And God said, they've not rejected you. They have rejected me. So what did God do? He said, choose a king for them. And God allowed them to choose a king from the tribe of Benjamin. That's not his plan. It was the tribe of Judah. But he allowed them to choose Benjamin, which means there are things that God will accommodate. There are things that God will allow. It's not his will. And he will be part of it. They now chose one guy called Saul. He worked for a multinational. He worked for an international agency. A graduate. Rich boy. CEO. Managing director. That's traveled far and wide. Tall guy. Handsome fellow.
You and handsome.
When you look at him, you are saying, fine boy. That was the person that was chosen. So he was looking for one of his animals. He and someone else. So as they were looking for it, God had informed Samuel that he will come to him. Look at the irony here. It's very interesting. They now told him there's a prophet. He did not know there was any prophet in the land. With everything that has been happening in Israel, he was not aware. He didn't know anything God was doing. I mean, that's the kind of king they chose. Eventually, when he got to Samuel, he said, hello.
Hi.
Nice to see you. You're looking good. I'm looking for a man of God like that. He was with Samuel.
And
he was saying, I'm looking for a man of God. He never used to attend church. He doesn't even know where church meets. So he said, I'm the man of God.
Samuel said,
oh, he said, that's cool. Then Samuel now gave him the information about the animals. That animal was commercial. Part of his business. Now
I said,
but there's something else. God wants you to be king.
He said,
really?
I said,
Oh, really?
Okay.
No problem.
Okay, I'm not sure.
Because he did not know the importance of it.
Samuel
said, you know what? You will now go to church. You will go to a hill. You see people prophesying. Do you know prophesying? I kind of feel so. I kind of get it. When you get to that hill, you will see prophets coming down. They will be singing and prophesying. Just join them. The Spirit of God will come on you. You will be turned to another man. Who was he before? I had to be I see people quote that for believers today. You will be turned to another man. Don't be turned to another man.
He said,
you will be turned to another man. And you will prophesy. That was when he started prophesying. Boys from the club. Boys from the nightclub.
Saudi.
It's now part of the prophet. Because now he's a guy, man. He's a G-man. Lovely guy. Nothing spiritual about him.
Do
you know people are choosing those kind of leaders in churches today? Because they have wealth, they have exposure, they have international exposure. When he went back to his uncle to report back what happened, he only mentioned the animal he found. Because the one that has commercial value. He never said he was anointed. That didn't make any sense to him. He never said he was anointed. It didn't make any sense to him. King.
Okay.
I see how it goes. And it began to rain. So that was why it was difficult for him to listen to Samuel. Was it
man?
What? Say what? Well, I didn't just feel like doing it.
I'll
pick it up to you. I just don't feel like doing it. I told you to do something. He said, cool down, boss. He's a total cannabis. God is showing us what happens when we reject his plan and we put brass instead of gold. That is what Saul represents. May Saul never take your pulpit. May Saul never take your pulpit. May Saul never take your leadership. May Saul never take your pulpit. In the name of Jesus. Sit down. Thank you.
Sante.
So, the last one that broke the camel's back in 1 Samuel 15, they asked him to clear the Amalekites. They asked him to clear all the Amalekites. He left some. Samuel now came to him. Said, Saul, what's going on? Said, I did everything you said, Pastor. Thank you for the privilege. I did everything you said I should do. Said, but I'm hearing the sound of animals.
He said,
those ones. You know we have to worship God. So I left some to worship God. You know you like worship. So I left some. Samuel answered him. He said, to Hakim is better than the blood of bulls and goats. To obey is better than sacrifice. He said, the sin of rebellion is worse like that of an idolatry. He said, today the kingdom is taken away from you. That was not the first time he told him. He said, it's taken away. Okay, no biggie.
I said, okay, see your issue.
No biggie. But just make sure that as we are going,
lakini angalia, tunavoenda,
let's act like nothing happened. You mustn't tell anybody. So let's just be moving like men of God. Like we normally do, right?
Kama tunafanya wakati wote.
There's a book like men of God.
Kwa jamaa anatembea.
And Samuel was smart.
Na Samuel alikuwa na akili.
You know, you have to be very smart.
Utakuwa smart.
Imagine if Samuel says, no, I won't work with you. God has taken the kingdom from you.
Mungu ametoa ufalme kwako.
That's where he would die.
Angekufa wakati huo huo.
He was so smart. It's like when Nathan went to meet David.
Ni wakati ambapo alikuwa anakwenda
kule. Wanted to tell him about the sin of Bathsheba.
Anakwenda kumwambia dhambi ya Bathsheba.
He didn't say, what have you done, king?
Akwenda kumwambia mfalme,
umefanya nini mfalme? I'm so disappointed in you. You know, it may not be David that will touch him. He will be the bodyguards.
Lakini unaweza kana ma bodyguard.
They just cut his head off.
Able to cut a kitu anasema vipi na mfalme na
mimi. He started with a parable.
Lakini akaanza na kutoa mfano.
When he finished that parable.
Kielelezo alipomaliza.
And with the lips of David.
Kwenye midomo
yake David pronounced judgment himself.
Akasema hukumu yake mwenyewe.
He said, my lord.
Akasema bwana wangu.
No, he did not call him anything.
He just
said, from what you have said, you are the man. And when they send you message, use common sense. So that you don't land in the land of the senseless. When they send you
message,
use your sense. So you do not land in the land of the senseless. The land of the stupid. So you not end up like the senseless. When they send you a message, use your sense. So you do not land in the land of the senseless. Even our Lord Jesus Christ, he knew how to dodge. When they wanted to kill him, the Bible says he ran away. Even Paul, when they came to kill him, the brethren did not stay there.
He
said, in Jesus' name, you will not come in. They found a basket. Put him inside. But then, don't forget this one. Watch your weight. So we can find the basket that can take
you.
Because if you are too big,
we
will be looking for the basket. And they will come after you. So watch your weight. so that your weight will not disturb the power of God. Can you shout hallelujah? Let's get back to Samuel and Saul. So Samuel was crying.
I
said, why are you crying? I have chosen a king. That's where he was going to. And then he sent him to the house of Jesse. He didn't tell him the name of the person. He just said, there's a king there. He saw Eliab. A Chelsea fan. Like Chelsea fan, always making boasts. Sorry, sir. So you want to deceive me by wearing this. It doesn't change anything. Go and wear your blue. So he saw him standing. He said, this is the anointed of the Lord. God said, I've rejected this one. Man looks at the outward appearance. God looks at the heart. Now don't forget, man looks at the outward appearance. If you are going for
interview,
his man is interviewing. Take care of the outward appearance. If you want a good brother in the church, he won't see your heart. His outward appearance, he will force you. If you want a good sister, she won't see your heart. Nobody marries the heart. Am I not speaking the word of God? Man looks at the outward. It is man you are dealing with. Me too. I look at the outward. Somebody shout
hallelujah.
So he now said he wasn't this guy. He went around and he brought all his seven sons. Can you imagine? He forgot there was a David.
He
said, is there no more a son here? It is believed it's a concubine that had the child for him.
He
said, he kept the sheep. Now, in the word of knowledge and word of wisdom, sometimes it will look like you have missed it. Obviously, it looked like Samuel missed it. But the moment you ask a question, in the word of knowledge and word of wisdom, learn to ask questions. Jesus said, go and call your husband. Jesus said, go and call your husband. The woman answered back in John 4. She said, I have no husband. It was that answer she gave. Jesus now said, you have rightly said it. That you have no husband. You have had five husbands. The man you are with is not your husband. The woman knew the man she was with was not her husband. She didn't give all the information. But from what he said, she said, Jesus knew what was going on. Listen very well. Sometimes in interrogation, the person will just say something. Then you know the answer. As soon as they said, he keepeth sheep. He kept the sheep. He said, go and bring him. That's the person. Some words will just flash light. That's the person. He said, we will not sit down until you bring him. As soon as David came, he anointed him. Look at the difference. In 1 Samuel 16, 12 and 13, as soon as he poured the oil, the Holy Ghost came on him. In Saul's case, he saw first has to go to church. He's not used to church. But when he came to David, he had been used to the power of God. He had been walking with God. So the Holy Ghost came on him. If you understand that, can you shout hallelujah? Are you following this now? What's the background? They were in the land, but they had not possessed the whole land. Saul did not possess the whole land. It was until they got to David. 2 Samuel 5:1. Two things happened. Number one, the whole land did not have any foreign occupants. Number two, unlike what happened in Judges and Joshua, where the tribes were split under David,
chini ya Daudi,
in 2 Samuel 5, they all came together. For the first time since the Exodus, and said, you will reign over us. That is why the throne of Jesus is called the throne of David. Complete dominion. Everywhere is taken.
So,
under David, the whole land at once was under his authority. Are you following what I'm saying? Under David, the whole land was under his authority. Then God now said, in Psalm 2 verse 7 and verse
8,
now ask of me and I will give you the nations for your inheritance, the uttermost parts of the earth for your possession. Are you following what we are saying here? So what he began in David, he wants to do where? He wants to do where? All over the world. So the promised land is an ongoing work of God's Spirit. Are you following what I'm saying here? The promised land will start from Jerusalem, but it will extend to the uttermost part of the earth. He said, ask of me, I will give you the nations for inheritance, the uttermost part of the earth for your possession. Are you following this? It could have happened with Solomon. But Solomon and women, he was building temples for women's gods. Again, the kingdom splits. And it split on like that, and on like that, and on like that, and on like that, up till when Jesus came, it was split. That was why he chose 12 disciples. That means I'm bringing the nation
one.
Then he chose 70 to go and preach. Because in the Old Testament, 70 is the number of the other nations. In Genesis 10, 70 nations before Genesis 11. In Numbers 11, Moses chose 70 elders. Because 70 represented the other nations. So Jesus chooses 12. Israel. 70. All the other nations. Are you following me? When he called the 12, he said they should not go to anywhere else but Israel. He said, don't go by the way of the Samaritans. Only go to the lordship of the house of
Israel.
Because we have to begin at Jerusalem. Then he chose the 70.
Said
they should go everywhere. Then when he rose from the dead, he said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Is somebody following me this afternoon? So all those facts are together in the Bible. Don't forget the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Beginning at John's baptism. That's the beginning. John's baptism. That's the beginning. John's baptism. That's the beginning. Jesus began his ministry in Galilee.
Yes, akaanza huduma yake Galilaya.
What is Galilee?
Galilaya ni
read Isaiah 9.
Katika kitabu cha Isaiah.
You see, Galilee refers to where other nations gather.
Galilaya inaongelea maeneo ambalo mataifa mengine walikuwa nakaa.
In Israel.
Katika Israeli.
So he began his ministry in Galilee.
Kwa alianzia huduma yake
wapi? So you will know his ministry is for the whole world.
Kwa huduma yake kwa mataifa yote.
Where did he give them the great commission?
Walipokuwa na hapa agizo kuu.
The same Galilee.
Akaenda kulitolea pale Galilaya. Anaambia nendeni kwa mataifa yote.
Make disciples of all the nations.
Fanyeni wanafu
mataifa yote. Follow what I'm saying here.
Nani afuata anachosema?
Don't forget the promised land.
Usisahau nchi ya ahadi.
Don't forget the promised land. So within Israel, God had other nations in mind. Within Israel, God had other nations in mind. When he rose from the dead, he now took them to a high mountain. He said, go into all the world.
Nendeni kwa mataifa yote.
And preach the gospel to every creature.
Kwa kila kiumbe.
Are you listening?
Unasikia?
Every creature. What did John say?
Nini Yohana anasema?
He will baptize you with the Holy Ghost. He will baptize you with the Holy Ghost. I with water. My own is the water of Jordan. To enter into God's promised land. Of Jerusalem and Israel. What is own?
Lakini uyo
is own.
Ya kwake
is wider.
Ni pana.
Is the whole world.
Ni dunia yote.
He will baptize you with the Holy Ghost.
Atabatiza na Roho Mtakatifu.
He said the Holy Ghost will come on
asa
you.
Roho atakuja juu yenu.
Think about it.
Fikiria jambo hili.
If you go back to the Old Testament.
Ukienda kwenye Agano la Kale.
In Numbers 11.
Kwenye kitabu cha Hesabu 11.
The Holy Ghost came on the 70.
Roho wa Mungu alikuja juu ya wale 70.
Can you remember that?
Unakumbuka hiyo?
He took the spirit on Moses.
Alichukua juu ya kutoka roho ya Mungu.
Put on the 70.
Akaweka juu ya wale wa 70.
What does 70 represent again?
Wale tumesema 70 inawakilisha nini jamani?
All the nations.
Mataifa yote.
Hope you are listening to what we are saying here. So here is Jesus. He said, not many days ends. You shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. Acts 1:5.
Then
in Acts 1:8. Look at it closely. What did God promise Abraham?
Nini ambacho Mungu alimwahidi Ibrahim?
Talk to me again.
Niambie sasa tena.
The uttermost part of the earth.
Akamwahidi.
Was that what he promised Abraham?
Ndivyo alimwahidi Ibrahim misho enchi.
Was that what he promised Abraham?
Alimwahidi Ibrahim.
So unite all the nations.
Kuleta mataifa yote pamoja.
In the same family.
Kuwa familia moja.
Look at Acts 1:8.
Angalia Matendo 1:8.
You shall receive. No, look at the question they asked. Verse 6.
Akaangazia
kwa sasa. You again restore at this time the kingdom to Israel.
Wakati huu ndipo unarudisha Israeli ufalme.
Is that the David kingdom they are thinking about? Is that it? What are they looking for? They want the nation of Israel to be in one place. Right? The temple to be built. Everything to be fine. Everything to be in order. That kingdom of David restored again. The lineage of David back again. Then he answered them. It is not for you. But to know the times and the seasons, which the Father has put in his own power. Listen well. They were not thinking on that throne of David. The occupant was talking to them. Jesus, the son of David, was talking to them. He said, there's a time and season with the Father has put in his own power. Time and season refers to moments and arrangements, which means first of all, let us restore the throne of David and put the rightful king of the Jews on the throne. That happened on the cross. They put king of the Jews. They were mocking him. But that is exactly who he was. Are you following what I'm saying? For the king of the Jews is going to have the nations as his inheritance, the uttermost part of the earth as his possession. Are you following what I'm saying here? So when he rose from the dead, he said the times and the seasons with the Father has put his own power, you shall receive power after when the Holy Ghost has come upon you. You shall be witnesses unto me. I am that son of David. I am that king of the Jews. I am that seed of Abraham. I am that son of Jacob. I am that son of Judah. I am that king of the line of Judah. You will now be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, in all Judea, in Samaria, unto the uttermost parts of the earth. That is the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Sit down. So when the Holy Ghost comes on these people, they will be kings and priests. Kings and priests. Kings take land. Kings reign over land. Kings take territories. Priests mediate between God and man. So we'll be kings and priests. So when you hear the kingdom of God, the kingdom of God is you and I functioning as kings in the authority of Jesus. That is the baptism with the Holy Ghost. Are you following what we are saying here? The Holy Ghost came on David. The Holy Ghost came on the priest. The Holy Ghost came on the prophets. So the baptism with the Holy Ghost means that every believer will be a king, a priest, and a prophet. It is not a title. It's a responsibility to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, because the earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof. If you believe that, shout hallelujah. Sit down, come on. Are you learning something? What is the baptism with the Holy Ghost? It is an office of a king,
office of a
priest, and of a prophet of God. You speak on God's behalf. You act on God's behalf. You reign in God's kingdom. That's the baptism with the Holy Ghost. Are you learning something here? Acts chapter 2. Now let me get to my real sermon. The other things were just a background. Acts chapter 2 and verse 16. This is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. It shall come to pass. It is coming to pass. It's already coming to pass. In the last days. What does last days mean? It means finally. It doesn't mean everything has come to an end. It means finally. He says, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants, on my handmaidens, I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. What does it mean to prophesy?
Nina maana gani kutabiri?
To speak by the power of the Holy
Kusema
Spirit.
Kwa nguvu ya Roho Mtakatifu.
To speak by the power of the Holy
Kusema
Spirit.
Chini ya nguvu za Roho Mtakatifu.
And what is the result of this?
Na nini matokeo ya hii?
Look at verse 21.
Angalia mstari 21.
When we speak, we are speaking in the name of the Lord. Verse 21. Let's take it together. It shall come to pass. Say, it shall come to pass. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Shall be saved. So when the Holy Ghost comes on us and we begin to speak the word of God around the world, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, the name of the Lord that we speak for, they shall be saved. All over Tanzania, all over Kenya, all over Uganda, all over Zambia, all over Zimbabwe, all over Eritrea, all over Ethiopia, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, they shall be saved. That's it. So the outpouring of the Spirit took place on the day of
Pentecost.
What is Pentecost?
Pentecost ni nini?
Pentecost simply means 50.
Inachomaanisha kifupi kwa koreshi tu.
Why 50?
Kwa nini 50?
It means 7 times 7.
Maana yake 70 mara 7.
7 days and 7 weeks. 7 days.
Siku 7.
7 weeks.
Majuma 7.
That means 7 days times 7.
Maana yake siku,
that means we have 7 weeks of 7 days each.
Ya siku saba kila moja.
That is 49. The day after it is 50.
Ni amsini.
That is Pentecost.
Hiyo ndo Pentecost.
Look at what that means.
Angalia kinachotokea.
Pentecost is a feast of new beginnings.
Ni sherehe ya mwanzo mpya.
When you plant,
ilikuwa ni sikukuu ya mwanzo mpya unapokuwa umepanda.
Then the harvest,
sasa yale mavuno,
is on Pentecost.
Ni siku ile ya Pentecost.
When Jesus died,
wakati Yesu amekufa,
and shed his blood,
na akamwaga damu yake,
something was planted.
Kuna kitu kilikuwa kimepandwa.
In the outpouring of the Spirit,
uhakika wa Roho,
we are now takers of the harvest.
Ilikuwa sasa ni kuchukua kwa mavuno.
That was why on the day of Pentecost, 3,000 were added to the church from 120 to 3,000. Is that a harvest? Is that a harvest? So from one Jesus to 3,000 kinds of Jesus, is that a harvest? Is that a harvest? That is the reason for the outpouring of the Spirit upon all flesh.
We'll
begin to explore it one by one for our nation. We'll look at the meaning for our nation, for our cities, and for our churches. Are you following what I'm saying here? Pay attention to everything. There was tongues there. Interpretation of tongues. Visions and revelations. Miracles. The preaching of the gospel.
Na kuhubiriwa kwa injili.
A harvest of souls. An increase in the churches. This is what I have come to tell you here. After this meeting, there will be increase in the gifts of the Holy Ghost. Increase in the laborers in the field. Increase in the preaching of the gospel. Increase in new converts. Increase and multiplication in the churches. Lift your hands and worship God. Worship God. Lord, an outpouring of your Spirit. An outpouring of your Spirit is taking place in our nation, in our city, in our towns. The promised land is being expanded. It's increasing. It's moving across the nations. Lift your hands. Worship the Father. Come on, lift your hands and worship him. Give him praise. Give him praise.